This is the part where we say some things before the show starts.
True.
Podcast for June 2nd, 2017. This is Mike Minotti, joined by AJ.
Yo! God bless you.
Excuse me. It's in tight to me. So today we're talking about our E3 fears. So it's the opposite of E3 wishes. Easier to not like. And then we'll talk a little bit about some of the games we've been playing. They just been playing Star Trek Bridge Crew, which I cannot play because I don't have the VR fanciness. No. Yeah, good. Congrats. One good game came out for it. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's a Star Trek game.
Yeah, right? Isn't that kind of funny?
Right.
Like, Star Trek got in on this real early. So, E3 fears. These are kind of things that you don't want to happen, but think will, or are worried will happen. So, kind of like the one I brought this up before. It's just the idea that Microsoft isn't really going to have anything to show.
I don't think they'll do that.
Except for, like, Crackdown and Scorpio. Why do you not think that's a viable fear?
I mean, okay, it's possible they may not show anything that interests you.
Well,
but I think they have things to show. They have games coming out on their system.
Exclusives? That's possibly. My question. Possibly.
I mean, maybe this is the year. This would be my fear, because one thing I like about Microsoft is they tend to only show things that are coming out in theory in the next year. Like Crackdown was supposed to be out by now, but it's not. But maybe they're going to start going the route where they're, like, coming in 2021. This game.
So, I guess on the flip side, the fear is that PlayStation 4 conference, it's like, Spider-Man, still not coming out this year. Last of Us 2, still not coming out this year.
God of War, not coming out this year.
Yeah, right, like, all the stuff that they kind of showed last year, it looked cool. But yeah, stuff is still a ways off. That would be troubling. I think Last of Us has to at least be this year.
Maybe not. Naughty Dog has a game coming out this year. Why do they need two?
It's interesting because like they've almost been positioning that Uncharted thing as more of a standalone, like more of an actual game, in a weird way.
Well, because it is standalone now.
Yeah, The Lost Legacy.
I'm getting my copy because I got that season pass for cheap.
I'm gonna guess yeah, that's right. It was part of a season pass at first.
Yeah,
like, it was definitely supposed to be a smaller thing.
Yeah.
All right, so here's the other fear. Nintendo. Here comes retro games. Oh god, what's it gonna be? Donkey Kong Country returns again. It's like, god damn it.
Yeah, that's a valid fear.
And a lot of people be like, oh, actually, those are real good games. Like, I don't care.
Yeah, I know everyone's like, oh, but the Donkey Kong Country, they're fine. The problem is, they're fine, but they are mechanically identical to Donkey Kong Country.
I mean, yeah.
Like,
I
can, which is like, it's cool, but like, I played that game a lot. I need something new.
Well, I mean, they had Cranky Kong could bounce on a pogo stick.
Meh.
it was cool.
Meh.
Yeah, but I know what you mean. It's like, yeah. So I guess that... So the big fear is that there's... I need at least one of these two things from Nintendo. Smash Brothers, which seems like... It would be baffling to me if that doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. So it would seem, especially now there's like rumors picking up about like what it might be. Like it would have the levels from both the 3DS and Wii U versions in it and stuff like that, which would be cool.
Oh, cool.
Right.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because like those are like separate things. Now it's like, oh, they can just all be in there. So you can do Spirit Tracks level on the Switch. That'd be great. So I need that and or Metroid. Now Metroid's less likely, but it sure would help. I guess just a bad showing from Nintendo is a fear in general, you know, because you never know sometimes with them what's coming and what isn't.
Mm-hmm. My fear is that they're going to just talk about this online nonsense.
Yeah, can we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, let's divert. What the fuck? I mean, we knew it was going to be bad. The minute they were talking about, you're going to use a smartphone after you do all this, like, obviously it was going to be weird.
We still don't know that much about it.
It's so many cables.
I don't understand why we can't just have an app on the system.
I really don't get that. I think they honestly think this is more convenient. Nintendo is just like, they're just terrified of doing the things the same way everyone else does.
Yeah, even sometimes that's a good thing.
Yeah, there's standards are called standards for a reason. It's like, that's what people kind of want and expect.
I mean, sometimes it's a good thing that they are afraid of that, because sometimes interesting things happen from that.
I understand that, but like, sometimes you get voice chat like, in a game is not something I need to revolutionize by having on two separate devices.
Now,
so everyone knows we're talking about this diagram came out. It was in Japanese. We could figure it out from the pictures. This is showing a Hori developed headset that Splatoon licensed, and it has this weird. It's not a splitter. It's a merger. So basically, you're taking an aux cord from your Switch itself into this splitter thing. Then you have another one going from your phone into this splitter. And then that outputs through one cable to the headset. So what this is doing is it's mixing the audio from your phone and your Switch into one audio stream. And it's passing the microphone through to the phone. Never mind now that the iPhone 7s don't have a headphone jack.
Yeah, whoops.
And a lot of new phones don't at this point, really. I mean, that's that the Essential phone that was announced. It's the big one. I don't know if you saw this headline. No. That won't have one. Mm. Does the S8? I don't know if the S8 does or not. I don't care. But so there's that. And then it's like, well, if you're docked, I mean, I guess the thought is you're not using headphones for the Switch anyway. So like, you're going to have a headset on connected to your phone for voice chat, but the game is going to be coming through your TV. Like, it's just.
It's
but then, like, if you do use, like say you have those Astros that go through the optical on your television, you can't mix voice chat into that. You can't do it.
It's very confusing.
It's so
stupid. And it's like,
I
definitely need to see it to see how bad it... I mean, now, on the bright side, it's only $20 a year, at least. Maybe it should just be free, is on the other flip side of that. But it's cheaper than Xbox.
No, we're getting games, I guess, out of it.
And you're getting, like, access to classic games, at least... NES games, they're being coy. They can't just say Super Nintendo games are coming. They're like, we're considering it.
Yeah, like, come the fuck on,
I mean,
Nintendo.
And honestly, at this point, it's like, you know what? I mean, I have NES games on my NES Classic now that I bought from a scalper for $500.
Yeah, thanks for that, by the way.
Yeah, so, yeah, I don't know. It seems weird. It seems like they only released that stuff yesterday because of that leak, because that Splatoon thing leaked earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Another weird thing about it is that it's coming later than we thought. It's coming 2018
now. Yeah, and then they describe, like, I mean, you have Splatoon coming out in a couple months, which is going to rely on this stuff. And they're, like, saying this will be a limited version of the app. It's like, how could it be more limited than what it already sounds like?
I guess that's the question. Like what's coming to it that's going to make it, besides the classic games, what is going to, you know, and if there's a big library of classic games and it was a Netflix-style thing, that could be worth $20 a year.
We saw Balloon Fight, Dr. Mario, and
Mario 3.
Yes.
The real one. like, I like Dr. Mario and Balloon Fight, but I mean, you know.
And hence with online play, sure, I'll check that out. But it's not like, I don't know. Typical Nintendo. Like, the Switch comes out, everyone likes it, it finally seems like they had their shit together, and then they go and do this.
Well, yeah.
And we knew this was coming. Like, they tried to warn us.
Yeah, they really did. It's weird that the actual online service for the Switch is coming out a year after the system did.
Right? It's just, it's so bizarre. And, like, you have to wonder, I really do wonder, like, do the Nintendo of America people, are they like, God damn it, like, they won't listen to us, but we have to go along with this. I hate everything.
Maybe. I mean, like, Japan has even more of an intense smartphone culture than we do. So.
Right, but, like, I mean, Reggie can't, like, in the privacy of his own mind, be like, this is great. We're going to have this smartphone app that I get to explain to everybody.
Maybe they're weird out-of-touch people who are like, smartphones.
Yes, it's just...
Now, maybe the other thing they like about it is that it'll work with their mobile games, too. Like, it'll be one platform for all of that.
It still just annoys me that the Switch, which has Bluetooth in the system, won't work with Bluetooth headphones.
I don't know.
It's just all bad.
Now, the bright side is, like, a lot of the Switch games are things that I just want to, like, play either... If I'm playing online, I don't want to talk to people.
Yeah, I mean, that's
they're
the thing.
Strangers,
I mean,
or...
We're only going to be talking to each other. At that point,
or I'm playing,
like,
it with, like, friends on, like, that are there.
And it's like, I mean, this is what we were doing for Mario Kart. You weren't on, but we just used Discord.
Yeah.
It's like, if you're going to be on the phone anyway, well, guess what? Now you're competing with other voice chat apps that are probably better than yours.
It's strange. It's very weird. It's not like, you know... a deal breaker, but it's definitely bizarre. I mean, it's from the company that brought you no headphone port on the Game Boy Advance SP.
Suddenly seems very forward thinking.
Yeah, right. Put before that, no backlighting on the regular Game Boy Advance.
Oh yes,
and all that fun stuff. Yeah. So what else do you fear, Edge guy? Besides clowns?
I don't know, clowns are pretty terrifying. God, someone's gonna make a clown game now, aren't they? Don't announce that. I'm worried that we're going to see the new Assassin's Creed.
I was just thinking about that.
And despite, like, the break and everything, you're going to look at me like, it's another Assassin's Creed. Like, it feels like we didn't skip anything. Like, that game needs to leap forward.
Yeah, there needs to be something there. Kind of like what God of War did. But it's hard.
Yeah, it's right? Not going to. It's not.
You think it's going to be Assassin's Creed?
It's going to be Assassin's Creed.
They're going to hope that, like, it's been a year.
I mean, even, like, look at Far Cry 5. I know everyone's like, oh, this, like, Montana setting is really interesting. I'm scared. But, yeah, it's just going to be Far Cry. Like, it's going to be the same game.
Like, these cultists have a lot of outposts.
Yeah, you're going to be climbing the watchtowers and, you know, church steeples, and it's,
We'll see. Yeah, Far Cry wore out on me faster than Assassin's Creed. And part of the problem is that Far Cry and Assassin's Creed are already similar in ways. Mm-hmm.
Just one's first person, one with guns, and one's third person.
Right. In fact, I think it was like some of these Assassin's Creed started like adding outpost type things to them. I was like, oh god, leave it alone.
The other thing that worries me, I'm weirdly worried about Destiny 2, and here's why.
Because
I've been percolating on it more since, like, and we didn't really talk about it a whole ton on the show. So much of what they showed at, like, that event, it was, like, preaching to the choir, if you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, you liked Destiny, here's how we're improving it.
Oh, you're worried, how are they going to get...
There was nothing like, oh, you didn't like Destiny, here's why you should like Destiny 2. Also, don't you think it's weird, like, Luke Smith was like, I want a big-ass fucking 2 behind me. Okay, here's your 2. But, like, it doesn't feel like... A leap. It does feel like an expansion. I think is a little bit reductive to call it like this, like another expansion.
That's so you're on this train now.
The content is not expansion worthy, but the mechanics are. Like, why isn't there a new class? Like, just a whole new class. Like, that's the kind of thing that you expect in a sequel, right?
I mean, I think part of the issue is, like, I mean, there's only so many resources, right? Like, they built this game while they were like still making content for Destiny 1. Like, they weren't going to do things like, yeah, they couldn't really make the game from the ground up. They had to use basically that same framework and just make the new content for it. But, yeah, I mean, I know what you mean. Mm-hmm.
Also, I was thinking about this, too. I'm certainly not on board with the whole 4-man fire squads for PvP.
All right.
Here's why. Because this creates this weird thing. So now, like, you need basically 3 groups to play the game. You need your group of 3 to do your PvE content, but you need a group of 6 to do your raids, then you need a group of 4 for PvP.
You think it should be some kind of, like, number?
Like, at least, like, 3 and 6. Like divisible.
Yeah.
You know? It's weird. Like, if you have your group of 6 that you raid with, and now you want to go do PvP, well, sorry, Scott and Frank, you guys don't get to play now. Or you get to go play with someone else.
Quite. They make it very clear why it's 4 players. Now they say, they're like, oh, now matches will be more skill-based. Like, what does having 2 less people on each side have to... But, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fine. I'm mostly going to play, like, you and Chris and, like, I don't know, one other person. But, yeah, it will suck if there's, like, 5 of us on. It's like... I guess either somebody's not doing PvP or somebody's just, you know, we're all not doing PvP now. Something weird.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, again, I think we'll have some fun with the game. But I feel like, I don't know, it just feels too... It feels too 1.5 to me, if that makes sense. And I'm worried...
See, that was the lead of my story, is that this isn't 1.5, so I don't know.
See, I'm starting to think it is.
Interesting. You were high on it when it first happened. Now you're down on it.
Well, I've been thinking about it more, obviously. I don't know. I mean, I want to like it. That's the thing. And
I think it's going
to
be fun. I think that it's going to not suddenly make Destiny a big, big thing. Like, Destiny was its biggest thing when it first came out, and everybody immediately bought it because, like, it was the new Bungie thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they're saying, like, best-selling new IP. Then all those people played it and were kind of confused.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know.
It's like, remember when you play the tech alpha and you're like, this is incredible, I can't wait to see what's next. And there, like, really wasn't a what's next?
I think a large part of me is, so they talk about stuff like how there's going to be actual quests in the world and stuff like that. If there's, like, 3 of those per area and, like,
yeah, you like, know, we need to see, like, what the scope of that is, I guess. Because that could either be really cool or it could be, like, some BS thing they did to pad an extra hour to the game. Because, you know, they're like, more content Destiny 1. Not exactly a high bar to cross, you know?
Yeah, like, congratulations. You did it. Another fear is that we still don't see anything about the other Star Wars games. It's only Battlefront 2.
That's probably true. I still feel like they're another year and a half off.
Yeah, man, I feel like I've been making that. I mean, I don't expect to see the Respawn one yet.
I appreciate that they're not trying to, like, crap these out, I guess.
Sure.
But, yeah, at the same time, it's like, let's see something.
I want to see that Amy Hennig Star Wars game.
I know. You saw that one little clip.
Yeah, they did show that one rando clip.
The guy's just, like, walking down the street.
So they're making it.
Yeah.
Remember they showed, like, that weird clip of, like, Mass Effect Andromeda, and it was just, like, models and stuff? That was only 2 years or so before it came out.
Yeah, it's like problem. Concept art. It's like, we're making it. Okay.
It seemed like at the time it would be a big deal.
Yeah, and it was further away. Maybe they should have spent another year on that game.
Hey, how are you enjoying your Mass Effect Andromeda? Hey,
shut up, Michael.
I loved rubbing it into you for some reason. No more Mass Effect now, I guess. Guess they made a bad one.
It's okay, it's not that bad, actually. The gameplay mechanics are, the shooting is good.
Oh, that's what you like Mass Effect more.
Have you heard me say any of that? I didn't even say any of that. Man, I don't hear
it. We'll see. People say that. People say that. That's good. People of your ilk.
People. People. I ain't people.
Ah. Oh, man. What else are you afraid of? Anything else?
The heat death of the universe and...
the heat death of the universe.
That would be bad. I don't know. Again, like... Your one buddy last night was like, so what do you think will be the big E3 surprises? Like, well, if we knew, they wouldn't be surprises.
Yeah, it's like, sometimes you don't know your fear until it happens.
Right, exactly. Like, I didn't know I was afraid of being burned alive.
Sometimes it takes seeing a picture of a rabbit dressed up as Princess Peach doing a selfie while holding a gun to know, to realize what your true fears
are. Oh, yeah, what the hell's that gonna be?
Also, it's an RPG. Turn-based?
Didn't they keep referring to her as, like, Kick-Ass or something, too? I was like, what? Who's making this?
I don't know. I don't know what the heck that's about.
I feel like Ubisoft tricked Nintendo. Wow, that's the most I've got you out.
That is the funniest thing you maybe ever said on this show. I feel like Ubisoft tricked Nintendo.
But really,
I can hear that like a Jim Gaffigan delivery.
Like when were the rabbits last relevant? Like the Wii. Like,
hey, like, you know what? And they got Mario.
Yeah, like Ubisoft like needed a hit. They had all these character models for rabbits. Maybe they were like making a rabbit RPG and realized like, oh fuck, that train has passed. Maybe. And they like went to Nintendo. They're like, hey, so. You know, our rabbits are really popular. Oh, are they popular? Oh, very popular.
They're the most popular guy.
You know, it'd be great. Like, they probably showed him some minion clips. They're like, these are the rabbits.
Yeah. They put, like, two ears on them.
Right. Look at them. They're on billboards and shit. Why are they yellow? Beta.
Yeah, it's a lore.
It's a beta release. Why is that the thing?
They must be... Nintendo must be just super desperate to make Ubisoft happy. Yes, you can have Mario.
I guess. Like, Ubisoft is, like, the one company that's like, Nintendo's got new hardware. Here's 7 games and 5 ports. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Did they say that Rayman Legacy's coming to the Switch?
I thought they did.
Okay. Because that'll be... It's not something, at least. I think Ubisoft tricked Nintendo. I would like this a lot more if that's just
right.
I think we're lied to. It'd be great if there's a press release at some point. Like, we apologize, Ubisoft lied to us.
Like, they saw that image come out. They're like, wait, did we say? Well, we can't take it back now. Everyone knows about it.
Yeah. But wait, who okayed this? Larry. Who said they could do this? Oh, God. All right. I think that's enough of here. So, Special Zone. How's Star Trek Bridge Crew?
Mike, it's so fun.
Yeah,
oh my god, you would love this so much.
Why? Why would I like this?
I have no idea. So, I went through the tutorial, so I like knew how all the stations worked. Which, if you're playing this game, please do that first. There's nothing worse than getting into the game, and this guy like who's at helm is like, I've never played this before. And he's like just crashing the ship and this stuff, which happened to me. It's like, bro, like we're all sitting here while you try to figure out how to steer the ship. Come on, go do the tutorial.
Maybe they should just make that man. Maybe they shouldn't let you matchmaking.
Yeah, they probably should, honestly. So when you're playing it by yourself, you know, you're the captain. You could jump into any seat, but you could also just kind of issue general orders from a contextual menu. They're going to be launching the beta soon, I guess, for the whole Watson voice control thing.
Oh, right.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Because remember that game, Bridge Commander?
Yeah.
This is, like, what I wanted Bridge Commander to be.
Right.
You know? So, that's cool. They nailed the whole aesthetic of the kind of J.J. Abrams Star Trek movies.
Have you done an original series ship yet?
I haven't done it yet. Apparently, it's, like, a completely different control interface. Because it's, like, you know, in that set, they didn't have screens. It was all just a bunch of glowing buttons.
That's awesome.
So, I don't know how they translated that, but apparently they did. You know, like it's got like there's like that weird little sonar ping sound always going off, and then a lot of lens flare. Yeah. It's very pretty.
I want the next generation era stuff, mostly because I like that bridge the best, but I need L cars.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll like do that as DLC or something. Maybe. So there's like two modes of play. There's like they have some structured campaigns, and then they have a mode called Ongoing Voyages, where it's just randomly generated missions. So
I assume those aren't as interesting.
They seem fine to me so far. You could pick what kind of mission you're going to do, if it's going to be more combat-focused or a rescue mission or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So when you start the game and you matchmake in, it starts all four of you in a ready room. You're sitting around a table, and you're choosing your role, your mission, everything, and you're talking to each other. And what it does, whenever anyone talks, it lip-syncs it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, the audio is positioned, so, like, you know, you find yourself...
Do you make an avatar for yourself?
Yeah, you can choose a couple presets of humans and Vulcans, mm-hmm. and you can tweak some facial structure. So it's not crazy, but it's enough. But it's just, it's amazing. We were setting up a game. Me and the one guy had already chosen our roles. The other two were deciding what they were doing. And he's, like, just moving around and stuff. And he goes, this reminds me, like... I feel like in VR now they could do, what was that, like, that DJ game? And I look at him, I'm like, DJ Hero. He goes, no, it was, like, before that, the Japanese one. What was it called? And I'm like,
Beatmania.
Yeah, and but we're just conversing, like, we're sitting there, like, we're gesturing with our hands and stuff. Yeah, and it's like, it's so weird. Funny situation I got into. So, game starts up, I'm in the ready room, there's this person to my left, and I just hear... And I'm like, what, are they okay? What's going on? Like, I didn't want to say anything. And I just hear this voice. And I couldn't tell if it was, like, a young kid or a girl. It's just like, I don't want to play with other people. Can we just turn it off? Just disconnect it from the internet. And I'm like, I just wanted to be like, it's okay. And like, I hear, like, a bunch of PlayStation menu controls. And then they disappeared. And it's like, oh, that was weird. But, yeah, so, like, it's cross-play. Oculus, Vive, and PSVR. I play with people on all four platforms.
Is PlayStation VR kind of the most popular one you see?
Seems like it.
Sure.
You can use touch controllers or a gamepad on any of the platforms. Like, that doesn't matter. I understand it's a lot better with the touch controllers, which is what I'm using.
Right. Yeah, I definitely need to just, like, come over and try this pretty soon.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, when you're playing with other people, it's hilarious because you kind of... It's one of those things where you almost automatically start role-playing.
Right.
You know, like, you kind of have to. Yeah. What they do, it's think of it as a weird mix of that Space Team game and FTL, where everyone has to rely on each other for some piece of information. So all the objectives only go to the captain, so he has to tell you what you're doing at all. So if you want to go to warp in your helm, well, engineering, charge the warp coils. Okay, great. And then, you know, tactical, please, you know, give us a scan. Okay, helm, take me in. Like, there's always something you need someone else to do.
Yeah.
It, in a weird way, approximates the kind of sensations I got doing that Pirates of the Caribbean thing at Disney Quest.
Way back when, wow.
Like, where you get, like, super into, like, you know, saying captain and sir and stuff like that. Like, just, it's so...
Do most people seem to kind of, like get into it like that?
So far, yeah. That's kind of the fun thing about it. It's like, everyone is like, all right,
everyone's game.
We're doing our Star Trek thing. Let's do this, you know?
Yeah.
It's just such a immersive, cool experience. Like, this is what, like, VR should be to me.
Yeah, well.
And it's also nice because, like, you're sitting. It's not like...
Yeah, you're not moving around.
Moving around too much, anything crazy. Like, I can play this game for, like, an hour at a time and be fine.
I need to get on
it. It just works so well. It's so fun.
I haven't really played much of anything new, so... More ARMS, Overwatch. I played the new moon map on Overwatch, which was fun.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's interesting because it's mostly indoors. It's, like, very big, though, because, you know, like, these places have to... Like, any map has to be tall enough for Pharaoh to fly, even if it's indoors.
That's true, yeah.
Which is kind of funny. So, like, the ceilings are very high. There's a lot of cool stuff in it. Like the attack waiting room, like, it has this giant telescope, and each character can look at it, and they'll say something different, stuff like that.
Have to, like, download the PTR and just, like, start a private match, start looking
through the telescope. Well,
I'm sure there's a YouTube video.
The PTR is nice right now, because when you go to it, it's just... The only play mode is arcade, and it's 6v6 on the new map, or 6v6 low gravity on other maps is, like, a thing they added.
Yeah, that's the custom game mutators.
That's kind of fun. There's also, like, in the moon map, there's, like, an area you can go outside with the low gravity and stuff, which is interesting. But, yeah, it seems really fun. Let's play with some of the changes. So, basically, the most important thing is they buffed Reaper and nerfed the Roadhog. So, Reaper used to, like, when you kill somebody, they would drop, like, a little health orb.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he just... He regains 20% damage that he does as health. So
is it that noticeable?
It's a lot better.
Yeah.
Especially against tanks. Because when you're doing tanks, because you're getting that health as you're fighting them instead of at the end of it when you don't maybe need it anymore. So, yeah, when you're shredding tanks now, it's pretty insane. It helps a lot. And then Roadhog, they nerfed his kind of one-hit kill combo where he would, you know... So basically, they nerfed the damage on his left click, which is the regular shotgun thing.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah, so when you hook somebody and left click them, unless they're one of like the 200 health or less characters, they won't die right away anymore.
Hmm. Even with the shot and melee combo?
Yeah, that was kind of that was kind of the idea of it. And I think it makes sense. A lot of people were like, why is Roadhog just going to instantly kill everybody?
True.
From so far away. It's one thing, like, he has to, like, if there's some risk involved with it for him, like, he's putting himself out there, but the chain has some pretty long distance. Mm-hmm. To compensate a bit, he has one extra ammo clip, and he shoots a lot faster. His firing rate is way up.
Yeah. Then they also, like, shrink his head hitbox or something?
Yeah, they did that a little bit. So, it's interesting, because it's still ultimately a nerf, because so much of, at least the way people played Roadhog, was the fact that he could get picks like that.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't McCree get some changes, too?
He got his High Noon charges faster, basically. So
that's good.
It's better, because High Noon was pretty bad all at this point, because people are just so used to it. Like, they know, like, get out of the way, High Noon's
here. Yeah, I feel like a lot of the, like alts like that and Hanzo's, like, they're not as effective as they used to be.
Hanzo
yeah.
has utility, at least, because you can zone with it, you can combo it with the Zarya, and there's stuff like that, yeah. So,
yeah.
Like, the Hanzo ult's fine still.
Right.
But, yeah, McCree...
Yeah, I don't get kills with it as much, but it's still useful. McCree's, it was like, yeah, like, you'd hit it and everyone just ran away and...
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so there's that. But, yeah, seems fine. All right, I think that's it.
Yep.
All right, thanks for listening to the Explain Bro podcast. I guess we have one more before E3, huh?
That's crazy town.
Yeah. So, yeah, thanks for listening to the show, everybody. We'll be here next week. You can find more of us on ebpodcast.com, the Apple
podcast
thingy.
Thank you for trying.
The Android thingies. And all the other things.
All your favorite thingies. All
right, everybody. See you next week right here on the Explain Bro.
Bye-bye. Oh,